Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and our special study titled, The Power of Negative Thinking. Of course, there are things to be positive about, and Christians ought to have an overall positive outlook, as we know that God is in control. But in today's church, there is an extremist, positive-only cult that denies the necessary negatives and must be examined in light of God's book. And we invite you to join us in doing just that as we begin our study, The Power of Negative Thinking.
The Power of Negative Thinking. Subtitle could be the title, The Positive Thinking Lie. I want to say right at the outset, I'm not saying we should be negative thinkers all the time. If you're, I mean, a Bible believer should be positive in a real sense, like no one else on the planet. We've read the back of the book. We know we win. Amen? We know what's coming. We don't have to go through life moping and depressed. And that's why I have trouble talking to people about these end time events. Because yes, it ticks you off. And yes, you get frustrated. But it's also exciting. But there's a false teaching where you're just supposed to be positive all the time. It really is a lie. I mean, not just that they're telling you a lie, but the very doctrine of positive thinking is a lie, because it's a lie. There are some things in this life, in this world, that are negative. And so if you purposely distort and pervert reality to be positive, that's a lie. And Satan is behind it. And if you go to Genesis chapter 3, I want to look at the negativity of God. And in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now look at that. He's painting God up as being negative. And it's a bad thing. "Hath God said, Ye shall not?" You see, that's an implied accusation of Satan. And Satan's implied accusation of God's negativity cannot be ignored, especially in light of human history and current events. You need to notice that in this text. Verses 2 and 3, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now she's presenting God's negative commandment and making it seem extraordinarily over the top negative by even adding to it something God didn't say. God never said, "Neither shall ye touch it." Now, would it be a wise thing to touch it? Probably not. But still, God didn't say that. So it's Satan's positive thinking that caused Eve to distort God's negative command. It was refusing to recognize this negative command, "You shall not. You shall not." And recognizing that that negative command was a good thing. And that's what caused Eve to distort the commandment. Now look at what God actually said in Genesis 2:17. Mm-hmm. Genesis 2:17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not..." Negative. "Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You see, the reason why you need to recognize negatives and respect that is because there are consequences. Mm-hmm. And if you distort it, and I'm going to get to this again in a minute, but all false religion distorts this. You go into Hinduism, Buddhism, the New Age movement, Satanism, the occult, liberal Christianity, any form of apostate Christianity. You go into Mormonism, you go into all these cults and false religions. They all distort good and evil. And the bottom line they come to is that they're not really good and evil. They are necessary, complementary, yin and yang. You ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. Yin and yang is a distortion of the truth. Yin and yang is the concept of white, black, dark, light, good, evil, both are equal. One is not better than the other. They are necessary and complementary to each other. That's Eastern occult mysticism, contradicts the scripture. And it's a denial of negativity. See, everything's positive. Even the darkness is positive. And this brings up a peculiar truth. Have you noticed that when you stand for what is right, the response is to distort your words and change the subject? Every queer that I talk to about homosexuality and his need to repent and be saved will turn it on. You hate, you hate, you hate. Yeah. Yep. They will distort my words and change the subject. Every Roman Catholic that you talk to and say the Roman Catholic Church is a whore, according to the Scripture, Romans 17, that is fornicated with false religions and the kings of the earth and preaches a false gospel that sends everyone who believes it to hell, and they'll change the subject to you don't love. You don't love. You go to our website where we have posted our videos just showing the truth behind the new versions and being Vatican versions, and almost everyone defending the new versions can't talk about the proof, can't talk about the documentation in the movie. They change it and say, you people are sowing discord. You don't love. You don't love.
Yeah.
Every one of them are satanic in the way they deal with the truth. They change, distort, and pervert. And that's all positive. Back in Genesis 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's positive thinking. That's, if you read The Power of Positive Thinking or The Possibility Thinking or whatever you want to read that's all this New Age stuff, that's what they'll tell you to do with anything you're confronted by. Turn it around and make it a positive. God says, if you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day you eat, you shall surely die. And positive Satan comes along and says, you shall not die. Don't worry about that. That's just superstitious religion. We evolved. There's no God to worry about. Don't worry. Be happy. There's your fact. Satan is the original positive thinker.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first positive thinker. The original. Now I'm going to show you in just a second an example. And then you can go and do the research on all the positive thinkers out there and you'll find that they're all into the occult. Now, did you hear what I said? You say, that's an exaggeration. No, it's not. And I'm going to show you the father of positive thinking in America. He's an occultist. And we're going to look at it in just a second. Verse 5. I'll add it in a second. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you go to the crux of the teachings of this positive thinking stuff, you'll find out that's exactly what they're telling you. They're telling you these fundamentalists, they're negative. You don't want to listen to this Bible-thumping fundamentalist. And if you just throw off that over-literalistic view of Scripture and read the Bible for what it really is saying, then you'll get a new truth. That's exactly how they teach it. And there's the message. The message of the Bible is just God is just being negative. All this talk of sin, all this talk of sacrifice, all that blood in the Old Testament sacrifices and the blood on the cross, and that's just, you got to get past that barbaric, uncivilized view that was probably added later to the Scripture. It wasn't even there originally anyway. Now, I don't have time to go over every one of these, but this is just a sampling of the false religions that teach this stuff. You get behind some of the terminology and the dressing, you'll find it. And of course, I have New Age, Hindu, Emergent Church, Buddhism, but it was the crux behind Nazism. That's one reason Hitler lost the war. Is he thought if he just was positive and stayed the course, and his will would cause it to happen, and so he went into Russia and got his rear end kicked. And that's transcendental meditation, the mind sciences, spiritism. It's all together, but you'll see purpose driven. We're going to see why in a minute. These are all the groups that teach this positive thinking stuff. Like I said, some of them have a major doctrine here or there that they put forth. But when you get behind that, that's what you find. Well, what's interesting is that the original form of positive thinking and the positive cult was born in the apostate churches of Nazi Germany. If you do your research, And here's just an example. In the encyclopedias, you'll find this documented. Here's the opening statement of this entry in Wikipedia. Positive Christianity was a slogan of Nazi propaganda adopted at the NSDAP Congress 1920, which is like the unification of all the religions in Germany. Positive Christianity. Turn on WCVO and what do you get? Positive Christianity.
Positive music.
And what do you get? Hardly anything of any substance. It's all just positive. And here's that's their flag, by the way. They had their own little flag with a cross and a swastika right in the middle of it.
Oh, dear. I didn't know that.
Well, this positive cult then came to America through a man named Norman Vincent Peale. He used the very exact same term, positive Christianity, but he stripped it of the Nazi elements, obviously, because they lost the war. And but he maintained the liberal occult basis of a false positive Christianity that is void of the gospel, original sin, the new birth, the second coming, the exclusivity of Christ. You see, what they had in Nazi Germany, Peale took it, and all he did was strip it of the things overtly Nazi about it and maintained the rest and brought it to America. The Power of Positive Thinking is what he's known for. That's his book. He sold 5 million copies. It was originally published in 1954. And the fact is, it was denounced by both psychologists and Bible-believing preachers. And the psychologists basically said, this will turn people into psychopaths if they follow it. Because it is a mental exercise in self-hypnosis. We'll see in a minute. But here's what you get to know a little bit about him. He was born in Bowersville, Ohio in 1898. He graduated from Bell Fountain High School, and then he went to Ohio Wesleyan in Delaware. He had a radio and TV program called The Art of Living. And what a lot of people don't know is it was underwritten by the Apostate National Council of Churches. And if any of you have listened to fundamentalist preachers through the years and get any of the older messages, you'll know that the National Council of Churches, it should be called the National Council of Communists,
yes,
or Communist Churches. And that's who paid for his program. He was a Scottish Rite 33-degree Mason. If you know anything about that, that means he was fully aware of what Freemasonry is all about. He was not your 3-degree Blue Lodge Mason. This guy was in deep. He described the Masonic Lodge himself in a letter he wrote. He says, it's men of different religions meet in fellowship and brotherhood under the fatherhood of God. In other words, Antichrist. All religions come together as one. And that was he's quoted by Dave Hunt, but that was in the Masonic magazine, which, by the way, is called New Age. He was mentored by Ernest Holmes. Now, that may not be a name you're familiar with, but he was the founder of the religious science cult. It's New Thought, New Age. The religious science movement is nothing but satanic Luciferianism. That's kind of redundant. But and he admits, Peale in his own writings, admits that his positive thinking term, the term positive thinking, he doesn't credit the Nazis. He credits the person the Nazis got the term from, and that's Charles Fillmore. He founded what is called the Unity School of Christianity. And the Unity School of Christianity, of course, you're thinking, oh, that sounds good. That's where you better be very careful to make them define their terms. And that's where the whole positive thinking term came from. Now, what's interesting is you start to connect the dots. Peale was mentored by Charles Fillmore, the occultist. Peale then mentored the founder of the apostate Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller. And so when you read his books about possibility thinking and that sort of thing, now you know why there's such a similarity. And one of Schuller's graduates, because he has a school out there, is Rick Warren.
Oh, I didn't know I should really.
And there's your connecting of the dots. And so when you read the purpose-driven materials and you see his global peace plan and you see what he's doing around the world, this is Rick Warren I'm talking about, where he's not preaching the gospel, he's coming together with all religions, he's telling the Council on Foreign Relations how to use Christians to build the New World Order, now you know why.
Yeah.
That's where that's his roots. This is from chapter 2 of Peel's book, The Tough-Minded Optimist, which sounds good. Well, he expressed dissatisfaction with both his liberal seminary education and with fundamentalism. And that's when he began to read what he called spiritual literature from the Unity School, religious science, science of mind, Christian science, and from various other metaphysical teachers. You see, Peel was in a liberal school, but liberals are naturalists, and they reject supernatural. He didn't buy that, but he also didn't buy fundamentalists who believe the Bible. So he turned to the New Age. That's all he did. Metaphysical occultism. Here's some of the books that Peel endorsed. And if you go into a New Age bookstore, you will find Norman Vincent Peel's name all over their books. Bernie Siegel is one of the better known. Eric Butterworth, Florence Shin, Jane Pauzier, Anna Brown, Kathy Berry. These are all Luciferian authors and teachers. Now, Kathy Berry says that she provided Norman Vincent Peale with his numerology chart at his request. He actually asked her to produce a numerology chart for him. And if you don't know what that is, good. The numerology chart is basically just one of the many ways in which they try to tell your future through divination. Revelation 21:8. I want you to read that with me. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That word, sorcerers, is all about divination using hypnosis, mind-altering drugs, and really anything, even alcohol can be used, to reach an altered state of mind. That's what happens when you're drunk. And it doesn't matter whether it's prescription drugs or over-the-counter or booze or whatever it is, you reach an altered state of mind, you are already taking the first steps in sorcery. All that's left for you to actually be practicing sorcery is to either attempt to communicate or communicate with spirits, and you're full-fledged right there. That's why a Christian does not want to be drunk. A Christian does not want to be high. A Christian doesn't want doctors to give them medicine that's going to make them high. A lot of people think that's a good excuse for being high, and if their doctor will give them something that will put them out of their mind, give me those Valium, baby. It doesn't matter. If it's putting you out of your mind, you're taking the first steps. Yeah. That word sorcery, by the way, if you want to go back and look at the received text that the King James is taken from, is pharmakia, which we get the word pharmacy from. Mm-hmm. So in line with this, Norman Vincent Peale taught what's called autosuggestion hypnosis. That's what all positive thinking is. Positive thinking is teaching yourself to basically hypnotize yourself, to put yourself in a state of mind where you don't deal with reality. And you see everything as positive even when it's negative. On the Phil Donahue show, which tells us going way back, this is in the 80s, he denied the necessity of being born again. And that was the transcripts online, October 23rd, 1984. Now this is a quote from Norman Vincent Peale. A meditation in which you visualize a white mist filled with myriads of little points of energy. Scientists say this is life substance, the life force. Now, this is all the stuff you'll see in New Age books, occult books. But he continues. Visualize this mist high above you and around you and at your feet. Then breathe in the white mist and visualize it proceeding upward into your brain, making it alive with new power. I have been practicing this type of meditation for several days. It induces a sense of vital energy, an awareness of God's presence. Who is God? Now watch this. You remember the clip from the Dutch preacher? Some of you saw? Now look at the similarity to what Norman Vincent Peale is about to say. Who is God? some theological being. He doesn't say no, but he's saying no. He is so much greater than theology. God is vitality. God is life. God is energy. As you breathe God in, as you visualize His energy, you will be re-energized. End quote. He wrote that in No More Stress or Tension in Plus magazine, the magazine of positive thinking. And here's how it lives on. Peel's heretical and unbiblical mix of New Age theology and psychology continue to influence the world in Guidepost magazine with almost 5 million worldwide subscribers. Almost every dentist and doctor and library in the world has that. Now here's his church. Here's what he's left behind. Guidepost magazine and this church he pastored in for years, for some, I think it was 40 years, close to 40 years. It's called the Marble Collegiate Church. And on their website, they say that their core beliefs of Marble Collegiate Church grew out of its history of Reformed Church theology. Let me say, the people who founded the Reformed Church would shut that down right now. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to say, in recent years, incorporating the insights of modern psychology. Marble Church proclaims faith in one God as expressed through the Holy Trinity. Look, it doesn't say Father. God the Creator, the person of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. These guys won't call his church, Norman Vincent Peale's church, won't call him Father anymore. And when they do, they say they call him Father and Mother. They will not refer to God as Father anymore. Look what it says. He says, we believe the Bible, both the Hebrew and Christian scriptures, to be a unique and authoritative account of God's work in the world and interaction with humanity. But look at this. The Bible is not to be interpreted literally. This Michael Brown, who's now pastor, he's totally promoting gay marriage and everything. And look what it says. Salvation, tell me if this is true. Salvation is a search for wholeness, peace, and a living relationship with Christ. Every false church will tell you that because they don't. It's not about Jesus. It's about the Christ consciousness that's in us all. See? It says, all persons are loved as sacred sons and daughters of God and are openly included at Marble regardless of race, sexual orientation, or background.
Whoops.
There you go. And on it goes. But listen, apostasy is always positive. We just saw Genesis 3. It was a positive thinker called the serpent. But in Isaiah chapter 30, if you want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 30, and beginning in verse 8, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. And you're reading it right now. This is a rebellious people. Talking about Israel. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Too busy reading the bestsellers in the Christian bookstores.
Amen.
Verse 10. Which say to the seers, that's the preachers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. You say people aren't saying that. They absolutely do. I get the messages all the time wanting me not to preach the truth. We've had them here and we've had them leave. We had one family come and because we wouldn't change our view on the imminent rapture of the church. Gone. I'm not going to go with the flow, folks. Are you? Let me hear it again.
No.
But look, this is how I want to close it. By not pointing out just the fact that the power of positive thinking is from the New Age. And it is. And it's apostasy. And it is. But here's the important thing. Only by acknowledging negatives can you know and understand the positive. We've talked about the battery before. You can't have a positive charge work without the negative. They go hand in hand. And when you face God, you'd better face the negative first. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Read that with me. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You have to be lost, negative, before you can be saved, positive. You have to be willing to face the negatives, not pretend they're not negatives. And all of these positive thinkers and self-esteem, self-love cult leaders are telling people to ignore their need because it's negative. And you need to just recognize how wonderful you are. The Bible says, no, first you understand you've sinned. You come short of the glory of God. You want to know your sin? Go to the law. That's what the law is for. You go to Exodus 20, you find out you shall have no other gods. Negative. Thou shalt not. Negative. Make any graven image. Thou shalt not. Negative. Take the name of the Lord in vain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. All negatives. And by recognizing those negatives and looking at your own life honestly, then you realize, I have sinned. Negative. Amen. And that's why even when you get the good news, you get the bad news first. "For the wages of sin is death." Negative. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Positive. Now, don't you feel good? Positive. You should. Because you got a real positive, not a fake positive. See, this positive thinking is fake. It's not real. But when you come to the Word of God honestly, and you say, well, let me see what this thing's telling me. And when it's negative, face it. Don't run from it. Don't redefine it. Deal with it. And then ask God to change that. You come to Him unsaved, He can change you. You believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's all pretty negative right up to that resurrection. But without that negative, there was no positive. And if you believe that, then God promises to then regenerate you, positive. And to come into you with His Spirit, positive. And to dwell in you, positive. And to seal you unto the day of redemption, positive. And to sanctify you and to conform you into the image of His Son, positive. And to then take you out of this world. He says He's gone to prepare a place for you. He said, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and to receive you unto myself. Positive. But you don't get to the positives unless you recognize the negatives. Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening. Again, please tell others that the video and audio versions of this message will remain available for free viewing, listening, and download at our website, kjvbiblebelievers.com.
You're listening to Bible Believers Fellowship.